follows from John, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated, kids. You're welcome to go back to kids' church together. And as we unfold today's gospel from John chapter 10, let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the words that are before us. I pray that then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. An elderly grandmother was visiting her granddaughter's home for the first time. As the granddaughter worked diligently in the kitchen, the grandmother became philosophical. Which thing in the kitchen do you like most? You know, the thing you couldn't do without. The young granddaughter stopped her work and thought for a minute. Well, I'm not sure, Grandma. I guess the microwave? She said, what about you? Oh, for me, it's easy. I would pick running water. How soon we lose sight of the most basic needs of life and begin to take what we have for granted. I think sometimes, even in our Christian faith, we take things for granted. And in fact, maybe even Jesus himself. Today we're reminded in the Gospel of John by the words of Jesus himself that we are sheep in need of a good shepherd. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and take those out. If you don't have them, there's a pew Bible in front of you. I'm going to be referring back to the first part of the 10th chapter of John, so you might want to peek back there with us. The first part of the text isn't printed in your bulletin, but I'll be referring to it. Jesus uses a very common illustration for the people in the first century to describe about who he is and what he's doing and what he will do. But to those of us who live now in the 21st century, we may not be familiar with this illustration. In fact, how many of you have raised sheep? Anybody? A handful? Okay, so you're going to know what I'm talking about maybe a little bit this morning. But you see, we've lost the context that the first century hearer would have. So let's build that context a little bit this morning so that we might understand Jesus better. In verse 11, Jesus begins by saying, I am the good shepherd. Now, a shepherd is one who owns the sheep, has charge of the sheep, has authority and responsibility for the sheep. They are most often the sheep of the shepherd. And the shepherd is the one who values the sheep over all others. They've entered into a relationship with the sheep. They love the sheep. They're the one that's going to stand in the gap when danger comes upon the sheep. And the sheep that Jesus is talking about here are the domesticated kind. These are used predominantly for their wool and meat. In fact, these domesticated sheep are the most mentioned animal in the Bible. And oftentimes, when they are mentioned, these domesticated sheep, we, humankind, are likened to them. Now, you might think to yourself this morning, oh, how cute. But let me tell you something about domesticated sheep, and those of you who have raised them will know that this is true. Domesticated sheep are helpless. They are dumb. They are social. They are wanderers by nature. They're submissive and weak and very, very needy. And so you might think to yourself, wait a minute. I'm being called a sheep? Well, yeah. In fact, I've seen sheep in the wild. Well, I say in the wild. They're actually on this island where they were feeding, but they're domesticated. And they're not just the little kind of sheep. These were like the big behemoth sheep. They're like Hagrid sheep. And we were just walking. We were staying the week near the island on a houseboat. We were just doing a daily walk. And we came upon a flock of these sheep, and they took off, and they ran, and they ran, and they ran. We caught up with them later, and I kid you not, they were, this whole flock, stuck headfirst in a briar patch. All of them. They couldn't move. They were so close and so tight together. Luckily, the person who was with me knew a little something about sheep, and said, Steve, we're going to have to help these sheep out or they will die here. Amazing, isn't it? And so we began to unpack the sheep from the briar bushes. Now Jesus is talking about him being the good shepherd and us being the sheep, those who need the good shepherd. He also talks here about the hired hand. He gives a little bit more illustration or definition about the hired hand. The hired hand is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf and abandons the sheep, and cares nothing for the sheep. But the hired hand is not necessarily wicked. The hired hand is not after the sheep themselves. The hired hand is just more committed to his own well-being than to the well-being of the sheep. And so he's not inclined to stand in the gap between the sheep and the wolf. He will gladly step out of the way. They're all yours, kind sir. And then there's the wolf. This is the wicked one of the story. Wolves in the Bible are often likened to false teachers or false prophets, thieves or robbers, even earlier in this text. And these are the ones who are after the flock to attack them. The flock, of course, is just a group of dumb, helpless, social, wandering, submissive, weak, and needy sheep. And they scatter when the wolf comes. So what do we learn then about Jesus? What is he saying to us about himself in these words? Well, let's look at verse 14. Again, Jesus says, almost like bookends, I am the good shepherd. And when Jesus says he's the good shepherd, he means that he's the noble or the worthy or the admirable shepherd. Jesus is the owner of the sheep. He is invested in these sheep. They are in many ways his livelihood, and he is good to them. Remember, Jesus told this story? In fact, he posed it as a question to the religious leaders. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. That's from Matthew 18 in verses 12 and 13. Friends, Jesus is our good shepherd. If we again embrace our sheepness, you know, our society teaches us, trains us, encourages us to become our own shepherd, to be the owner, to be self-sufficient. But Jesus reminds us in his own words, no, you are not the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He continues by saying, I know my sheep. The shepherd certainly knows his sheep. If you look back at the beginning of this chapter and verse 3, the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And not only does the shepherd know the sheep by name, but the sheep also know the shepherd intimately. Verse 4, chapter 10. His sheep follow him, the shepherd, because they know his voice. Do you know the voice of the good shepherd, the noble, the admirable, the worthy shepherd? Because he knows you. Every hair on your head is counted. Every thought that you think, he knows before you think it. Joy, pain, hurt, and happiness, he knows those feelings in you before you even experience them. In fact, Jesus says, I know as the good shepherd my sheep, and the sheep know me, just as I know the Father, and the Father knows me. Jesus is comparing his intimate relationship here between himself, the good shepherd, and his sheep to the relationship he has with God the Father. And we know what that relationship is like. Jesus, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, left to go pray. Jesus had an intimate and loving relationship with his Father, and Jesus wants that same kind of intimate and loving relationship with us. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. A shepherd, we know, as we've heard, unlike the hired hand, will stand in the gap between the sheep and danger, whether it's a wolf or a bear or a thief or a robber. The shepherd will stand there, but rarely will a shepherd, though they risk their life, rarely will a shepherd lose their life for the sheep. Makes sense, doesn't it? They have a bunch of other sheep. Sometimes they have to get out of the way. Sometimes they are beaten down and forced out of the way. But Jesus says differently than a shepherd. He says, I will lose my life for you. Well, what's he talking about here? Of course, he's talking about his death on the cross, where he literally stands in the gap between us and God and receives our penalty, our payment for sin. This is the work of the Good Shepherd. Jesus has laid down his life for you, his sheep. He says, I have other sheep. Most likely, in this context, he's talking about the Gentiles. Early on, he talked about the sheep pen or the sheep fold. That's the house of Israel, the Jews. But Jesus says, there are other sheep that I need to go out and get. In fact, these sheep, like you, will hear my voice, and they will listen to it. We don't want to get confused here. We want to hear what Jesus is saying. This hasn't changed. Jesus still has sheep beyond our pen. That's why we are called to make disciples. That's why we are called in the Great Commission to go out and teach and to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's why in our community there are still Jesus' sheep walking around that Jesus must bring back to the pen, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus continues to bring sheep to the pen. The question for us, as we hear these words from Jesus, is, are we in the sheepfold? Have we committed to a life in Christ? Have we accepted the gift of forgiveness and repented of our sins? Jesus says that he has other sheep and must bring them. And then he says, I lay down my life again. As a reminder that he lays down his life, but he does it purposefully. He lays down his life that he might take it up again. The death of Jesus is not the end of the story. Yes, the shepherd lays down his life. Yes, the shepherd intercedes for the sheep. But the shepherd also conquers evil once and for all by transcending the grave in a bodily resurrection. You see, this is the gift of our good shepherd. And this gives Jesus then authority. He says, I have authority. The good shepherd is not a helpless shepherd, but one who has power and authority, and that power and authority is available to us in the power of the Holy Spirit as we surrender and submit to him who is the good shepherd. And all of these things, Jesus wraps this up by saying, I have received from the Father the command to lay down my life, the authority to take it up again, the ability to live as the good shepherd. These all come from my heavenly Father. Whew. Jesus reminds us, tells us a lot about himself in these few verses. But friends, just like running water, we may have lost sight of the very important teaching of Jesus, that we are sheep in need of a shepherd. And though we've been taught in our society that no, we should be the shepherd ourselves, in reality, if that's what we're seeking, we will fall well short of what God wants for us. I'm going to read as an encouragement to you a journal entry that I made not too long ago in my personal journal. It's kind of maybe a peek into my life and an encouragement to get back to the heart of our sheepness. I wrote, Heavenly Father, I am just a scared little child, a boy really, with fears and worries. I try to play the adult, the shepherd, who has life together, who is brave and strong, but I fail miserably. Is self-dependence and self-sustaining the goal? Is being the independent, powerful, and self-sufficient American man truly what you desire of me? I don't think so. I've been fed and bought into this lie. You say you desire a broken and contrite heart, the heart of a fully dependent child, a sheep. I appropriately address you as Father and humbly accept that I am your child, I am your boy, I am your son. This is contrary to what my society and culture have taught me, but exactly where I need to be to shed those very same fears and worries. How ironic, when I become weak, you make me strong. This is just like you, Jesus. Help me to remember. Help us to remember. We are the sheep, and you are the good shepherd. Amen.